July marks Disability Pride Month here in the United States, and one of the most significant measures of the need for our Disability Pride Month is the fact that it was established nearly a decade ago, and many people are still not even aware of it. This year, Easter Seals of Southern California is making their mission to bring attention to the issue that affects about 13% of the U.S. population. And one restaurant in Redondo Beach is doing its part to bring visibility and inclusion to the disabled population. Michael's Cafe hires only young adults with developmental or intellectual disabilities to give them a space to contribute to the community. And in San Bernardino, the focus is on pets, specifically ones that need a good home. The City Animal Control Department will now provide services for Colton, Fontana, and Rialto, in addition to its previous obligations. That could double the number of animals it needs to shelter. We look at how the department will handle that as Fox 11 News in Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News in Depth. July is Disability Pride Month, and it gives us a chance to let some light into the discussion of disability and how we all deal with it. Easter Seals of Southern California created a public service announcement to open up that discussion. It features a number of disabled actors sharing their feelings about their disabilities and how it does or does not define them. Let's welcome in Kimberly Kahn, the Chief Marketing Communications Director, or Officer, rather. I gave you a promotion, didn't I? For Easter Seals of Southern California. And Andy Arias, a national policy expert for marginalized communities. He's also in that PSA. I saw you in there. Welcome to both of you. And let's start with Kimberly. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what Easter Seals is trying to get out in that PSA, that public service announcement?
What Easter Seals is trying to get people to understand is that disability is not a dirty word. We should be able to talk about it, celebrate it. People who are disabled have pride in who they are, and we want to communicate that, especially this month, which is Disability Pride Month.
Well, why is it here in 2024 we're having this discussion?
You know, it's unfortunate that we are having this discussion. You know, there's been lots of progress, but not nearly as much as there should be around acceptance and inclusion of people with disabilities. So until we get there, we're going to keep pushing and pushing out messages like this.
Andy, I saw you in that PSA.
Thanks.
Looked like you enjoyed yourself.
I did. It was super fun.
And you're kind of living this whole thing, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up with a disability. I have cerebral palsy, so I don't know any different than to be disabled. So it means a lot to me that Easter Seals is behind a message that says inclusion and diversity for all.
What do you find the hardest message to sort of get out, the biggest and toughest barrier to break?
Well, I think that most people don't understand that eventually they will be disabled someday. So it's about shifting the perception against you and I and making it so that disability isn't a dirty word, obviously, but also making sure that people know they might be disabled someday. So it's about making a world more accessible and inclusive today for their tomorrow.
Well, why do you think that it's not normalized yet?
I think people are scared. They don't want to change. They're scared of change. They're scared of adapting. But I think as soon as they embrace it, they'll be able to have more inclusion for us in the world in terms of employment, acceptance, accessibility.
Kimberly, this public service announcement, it has a number of actors in it, including Andy.
Yeah.
And who are they and how are they chosen?
Yeah, it features a very diverse cast of individuals with disabilities. Not all are actors. Some are. And so we wanted it to be representative. You know, disability is intersectional. People with disabilities cross all gender, races, sexual orientations. And that's what's represented in our PSA cast.
You know, Andy, obviously when we deal with conversations about and with people who are disabled, there's a discomfort.
Right.
And how do we get over that discomfort? What words should we be using?
Well, to say it, say disability, don't say special needs or challenges or extraly abled or all the abled extra words that people love to use. It's disability. Everyone will have one someday. And I think that people just need to get comfortable using it. And everyone that is listening or hearing or seeing this has somebody with a disability in their life. And my question to them is, when it happens to you, do you still want your autonomy? Do you still want your choice? And the answer is always yes, right?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting to me you talk about these terms, because I've been here for a couple of minutes in Los Angeles, and going back to the 80s, homeless people, different subject, were called street people. Then they were homeless. Now they're unhoused. So we are always changing sort of the language that we use. And do you think that has anything to do with it, that we try to find other words?
I think that people try to find other words because it makes them feel better about themselves. But really, disability is disability, right? And we need to start embracing it fully. And I think that if we switch the words, it's to make ourselves comfortable, but we have to own it and we have to embrace it as a society.
So Kimberly, how can non-disabled people help advocate for the disabled community?
Well, there's all kinds of ways to be an ally to the disabled community, starting with saying the word and calling it what it is, because that helps with acceptance. You know, employment, support with employment opportunities for people with disabilities, support fully including people with disabilities in community, work, school, and elsewhere.
We recently featured the Disability Film Awards. Do we need more things like that?
Sure. You know, anything that provides opportunities for people with disabilities to gain and show their skills that leads to employment, such as the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, yeah, it's great. And things like that are needed.
All right. Kimberly Kahn, Andy Arias, thank you both for being
with us.
Thank you. Appreciate
you.
And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we discuss another fantastic opportunity for some developmentally disabled adults. Michael's Cafe has opened in Redondo Beach, and we talked to the man who was inspired by his daughter to create this unique business. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and Michael's Cafe has only been open for a couple of months, but it's got a 5-star rating on Yelp, and that may not be the most remarkable thing about this coffee shop and cafe on a busy street in Redondo Beach. Ed Lynch is the founder and executive director of Michael's Learning Place and Michael's Cafe. Ed, thanks for being here, and tell us a little bit about Michael's Learning Place and Michael's Cafe.
Well, thanks for having us, first of all. Michael's Learning Place started almost 23 years ago, worked with special needs in an after-school program, adult day program, and then trying to find jobs for our participants was vitally important. And we opened up a commercial bakery in Hawthorne to do all our baked goods, coffee service, and then that turned into eventually opening up a cafe in Redondo Beach.
Now, you and I talked a little bit before the show.
Yes.
And the inspiration for Michael's Cafe is?
My daughter, Michael.
Yeah.
The reason I get up every morning, the reason I strive to do more every day.
Tell us about Michael.
Michael's an amazing young lady. She passed at 7.5 years old, taught me the lessons in life that nobody else has, no institution has, the importance of today, this moment, and to try to make a difference in my life. I am the man I am because of her. I'm the father I am because of her. And I'm driven to do more to honor her name and her legacy.
You have two boys.
I have two boys, 17 and 26.
But it's your daughter that's in your heart right now.
My boys will always be in my heart, but my daughter, it's daily for me.
And when you walk into that cafe, do you see her? Do you feel her?
I do, and you see the smile you see in my face now. It's a place of joy. It's a place of gratitude. It's a place that, because of her, it's there, and it'll be there long after me.
And let's talk about what it is.
Right.
It is a place where
individuals with disabilities do the cooking, do the cleaning, do the serving, do the register, make your cappuccinos, do everything. This is about them.
And how does that work?
How does that work? They started off basically in our bakery, and then we ran a small cafe out of Torrance Memorial Hospital, so they got a lot of the training there. And then it turned into creating more opportunities. This opportunity presented itself. We gave them the training to do it. There are supports in the kitchen for if they do need help. But if you were to come into the kitchen, Kaylin is running the sandwich station and the salad station, and Dominic's running the panini station, and Max is handling the dishes and the clearing of dishes in the restaurant. It's about them. And it's about creating that awareness, capable and able. And I think for me, the one story that epitomizes the cafe is the first opening weekend, there was a young family sitting at a table, husband, wife, and their four-year-old daughter. And after talking about the basic stuff of food and how'd you find out, the mom looks up to me and says, I hope one day she can work here.
Right.
So it's giving families hope and showing society that just because you have a disability doesn't mean you are not capable and able to do anything you set your mind to.
I suspect there are customers that come in that know this, but then there are customers that come in that may not. So what are the customer reactions like?
It's been nothing but positive, I could tell you, Hal. It's families with children with disabilities are coming in just to see what it's like. But then families are coming in, and the stories are all over the cafe. There are boards up talking about what we do, why we do it, and they're inspired by it. The cafe is not just a place for the story. It's really the food is delicious as well, right? All the components of a successful restaurant are there, but ours comes with a very impactful story.
So you got very special people working in this very special place.
Yes.
And what's it like for them?
Well, you know, for any of us to have a job, right? So if we don't even separate somebody with a disability from somebody that doesn't have one, how do we feel when we go to a job? We feel a sense of pride, accomplishment. We feel like a part of a team and a family, getting a paycheck, being able to pay some of your own bills on your own. That's vitally important to everybody. So I would say when it comes to the cafe, you know, and questions like, what is it like for them and what is it like for us? Leave the label at the door, right? They're individuals. It's Dominic first and foremost. It's Kaylin first and foremost. It's Kate. It's not the person with the disability.
Why is a place like this needed in your mind?
To create awareness. So maybe if you came in and you're a business owner and you're looking to hire, maybe you'll think twice about hiring somebody with a disability. Capable and able, want a job just like we want a job, want to do something that brings them joy to want to show up for work.
Do you feel that there's not enough of that?
Absolutely, there's not enough of
that. Talk about it.
Well, you've got an 80-85% unemployment rate for individuals with developmental disabilities. Everything is wrong with that. What you're going to get when you hire somebody with a developmental disability is a person that wants to work. Get them at an entry-level position. They will show you what they can do. And it's not like they're looking to climb the corporate ladder. You're going to get a workforce that wants to work, and they're sitting there waiting for you to hire them.
Are there limitations, though? I mean, you've got all kinds of disabilities there. Some people might be better in the kitchen. Some people might be better serving, being a host or a hostess.
Absolutely. Right. So, again, depending on where they want to be. And I think anybody that wants to work in a kitchen wants to work in a kitchen. So if they like working with food, if they like working with sharp objects, if they like working in that type of environment, that's right for them. But it's not for everybody. We have some students that do better, participants that do better front of house. Some do better with dishes, and they're learning to step by step what's the next thing. We want them to do everything. Because the ultimate goal is we can't hire everybody, Hal. We've got to be able to train them and give them the skill set so they can be employed outside of Michael's Cafe. So finding restaurant partners that are willing to take an opportunity with a great group of individuals that are capable and able and change the culture in the room as well. They'd be doing a service to themselves and to their customers by giving somebody with a disability a shot.
Tell everybody where Michael's Cafe is.
So Michael's is located at 2302 Artesia Boulevard in Redondo Beach. Actually, right down the block from our print shop we have. So we have a t-shirt printing and embroidery business as well. Hours are currently Wednesday through Sunday, 8 to 2 p.m. Beautiful environment, parking in back. That's the tricky part. But I guarantee you when you walk away from there, your stomach will be happy and your heart will be happy.
Nice. Very nice. Ed Lynch, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, the San Bernardino Animal Services Department is providing services for three new cities. This could stretch the facilities for an already overburdened system, so we take a look at that right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. At the beginning of July, the San Bernardino City Animal Shelter began providing animal services for Colton, Fontana, and Rialto. The city already has contracts with Grand Terrace and Loma Linda, so that could double the number of animals the shelter takes in. Now, joining us to talk about that is San Bernardino Animal Services Director Chris Watson. Chris, good to see you. And your friend Dottie, is that her name?
Yes. Thank
tell
you.
Me, tell me about Dottie. She's 8 weeks old, you told me?
Yes, she's 8 weeks old. She just came back from our foster program, which is where we have people in the community come out and help us take animals home to care for them outside of the shelter environment.
Yeah, I want to talk about this issue of taking on new cities because it sounds like, on the surface, overwhelming. And this comes especially at a time when services are overwhelmed and we hear more about euthanizing animals because they can't take care of them at shelters.
Part of the issue right now is that there are very few shelters in California, in our region in particular. So we were approached late last year with the cities Fontana, Rialto, and Colton. Their contract with Riverside County was ending on June 30th, and they did not have another option to house any animals coming in for them from their city. So we worked with our elected officials, as well as the elected officials from those cities and staff, to determine what we could do in order to accommodate the extra animals coming in. We do have a plan to add kennel capacity. Right now, we're doing some temporary things until the kennels are finalized. It is definitely a big undertaking, but I think there's a responsibility we have to the people in this community and their pets to try and do what we can to help care for them.
Well, before you even take in all these additional animals, are you already finding you're overcrowded?
Yes. Yes. And that's part of the problem, not just with our region, but throughout California, as well as the nation. What we're seeing right now in animal services is combined by a bunch of outside factors that are out of our control. The economy, housing, insurance, all of those play into whether people can keep their and care for their pets. We are trying to offer programs like a pet food pantry, low and free vaccines, working with community partners to offer low-cost services to help support people so that they can keep their pets. But ultimately, if somebody is losing their home or they're moving in with relatives where they can't take their pet with them, they are ending up at the shelter. And what we're also seeing is a lot of pets that are running stray in the community where their owners don't come and get them.
And do you end up euthanizing when you hit a certain level?
No, we don't go by numbers. That is definitely a concern, capacity, but we look at how is the behavior of the animal? Are they challenged? Do they not get along with other animals? Are they aggressive? Do they have a bite on their record? Are they sick and the treatment isn't effective? Those are all factors that play into our decision making when we're looking at euthanasia. Obviously, euthanasia is the last resort and that is the last choice we want to go to. There are other things in place and there's ways that the community can help us so that we can avoid the overcrowding and increase of animals in the shelter. And fostering, like the community did for Dottie and her siblings, is just one of those ways that the community can help us.
Your department has been quoting some shocking numbers. You have the potential to take in as many as 12,000 animals next year? 12,000?
Yes. So last year on our own, the city of San Bernardino, along with Grand Terrace and Loma Linda, brought in 6,000 dogs and cats, about 4,000 of which were dogs and 2,000 of which were cats. This year, we're projected to double that number with the additional three cities coming on board. So we are increasing our capacity and kennels. At the end of everything, we're hoping to have at least 312 kennels on campus so that we can house up to 400 dogs at one point in time.
What does that cost? What's the expense of that?
So we are using some temporary structures. We're not doing a brick and mortar build, which would be a lot more expensive. We're utilizing some temporary modular buildings so that we can look at planning and building a new replacement shelter that fits the needs of the community right now and moving into the future. So $4 million was allocated from our city in order to cover the cost of the modular buildings and all of the infrastructure repairs that were needed in order to accommodate them.
I want to ask you about cats, because shelters seem inclined to leave cats as strays. So leave them out on the street? Why?
So cats are free roaming. There's no law in the state of California that requires cats to stay in their yard or at their home. What experts in the industry have discovered is that cats have a whole range of sociability, from your cat who sits on your lap as soon as you get home to those cats that could be considered feral, who have never had any contact with humans and don't want to have any contact with them. So the most effective way to deal with cats is to spay, neuter, and then put them back where they're found. The other thing that is taken into consideration is most people don't come to the shelter to look for their cat. So nationally, the return to owner averages for cats is about 3% compared to 60% for dogs.
Wow.
When you leave cats in their environment, they find their way home.
I got to stop you right there because we're out of time. So to you and Dottie, thanks so much for joining us. And Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News in Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. And as we leave you, let's take another look at that Disability Pride Month public service announcement. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Sometimes people create their own perceptions of what I can and can't do.
There are millions of people like me. They are overlooked and underestimated.
It's my thing to feel. I don't want someone else to tell me how I should feel.
People made me have different views on it, but I learned my version of autism and I embraced that.
It takes a lot to be able to get to the pride part of disability because we live in an ableist society.
It doesn't matter the disability that you have. You have to love it and you have to love yourself.
It took me a while to understand that I'm one of a kind.
I have a mind, I have a heart, I have a passion.
I'm very proud to be myself.
Unique.
Lovable.
Awesome.
Kind.
It's who I am, sitting or standing.
Disability pride matters to me.
Say disability.
Say disability.
Say disability.
With pride.
Say disability.
With pride.